All right. Sunday morning, 4/14/24. Prophet Corner's Uncut. The Prophet's Corner Uncut. It's time to build the Lord's house is the name of this. The Lord brought something back to my attention back in the 90s. It was, I don't know when in the 90s. It was pretty well early 90s, I think. One night, the Lord had me up all night in the book of Nehemiah, and I didn't understand at that time what he was talking to me about, but then he had me send, I forget how many, but I know of two different pastors, he had me send them a letter talking about it's time to build the Lord's house, and I sent him a check for a certain amount of money. And the Lord brought that back to me. That's exactly what we're doing now, and I had no clue, even though what I had done. And one of those men that I sent that to was an apostle. I mean, I was saying stuff I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't have any understanding about any of this. So I thought it was kind of cool how the Lord brings stuff back, and the Lord doesn't just waste time. He just does stuff that has everything to do with His call and what He wants to do. No matter the time passes and we forget, He brings it back. He'll bring it back up. Okay, we're going to look at, this is called Time to Build the Lord's House, Acts chapter 8. So back then, that call to build. That's where we are in history. It's time to build the Lord's house back. The one that's under the corporation is going to be bankrupt like everything else. People don't like to hear that, but they're going to have to, you know, get on board. Remember, Danny said, somebody we've known for a long time, asked him, well, where's the church? He said, underground. They've been going to churches, just can't find nothing. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say that. We've been everywhere, there's just nothing. Yeah, there is. You just don't know about it because it's been underground, like in the stable, hidden in secret. But it's flourishing, and it's about to step up on the scene. And you either get on board with it or you'll just have to find something else to do. Not going to be any more of what it's been. No more deep state church. No more. All right, Acts 8:11. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. I'm talking about the deep state church. That's what these scriptures are about, how the church has been bewitched. We've all been bewitched. In fact, that's one of the first programs I can remember as a kid watching. It was one of my favorite, was Bewitched. Wishing I could wicker my mouth like her and just get whatever I wanted. If you play ball with them, they'll give you whatever you want. All right. Revelation 21:8. Now, I've heard of some of this before, but this is 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Sorcerers. Idolaters. We know something about that today, don't we? Didn't used to. Okay, Revelation 18. You know, okay, go back. 18. 18:23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. I put here Big Pharma. Pharmakia. Witchcraft. Sorcery. We've been deceived. All right, sorcery's here. There's two different places. One of them is magic. The other is pharmakeia, which is medication, pharmacy, sorcery, witchcraft. Galatians 5:20 says witchcraft. It says that's one of the works of the flesh, witchcraft. All right. Go back to Acts 8. Verse 9 there says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. I mean, Paul would go into places, and like at Mars Hill, and the whole city's taken in idolatry. The whole city. Pretty well everywhere he went, they were all idolaters. Kind of like America today. Here, bewitched means to put out of wits, become astounded or insane. Now you can understand why these people act the way they do. Galatians 3:1. Let me look at Galatians 3:1 right quick. It says here, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This word here means malign or to fascinate. All right, this is where the Lord begins to speak through this here. It said, pray for those who are bewitched, especially Christians. They have been deceived by their sorceries, their witchcraft. It has been a spell, just like they project in the movies. Sleeping Beauty pricks her finger on a spindle and falls into a deep sleep for 100 years. It took the prince's kiss to wake her up. Who is the prince? King Jesus, that's who. Just like Snow White eating a bite out of the poison apple. Computers, cell phones, iPads, and other things. What's on the back? An apple with a bite out of it. While eating a bite of the poison apple and lapsed into a coma, and only the kiss of the prince can wake her up. Again, who is that prince? Is this not an analogy of the church? While the church slept, the enemy nearly stole it all. As goes the church, so goes the nations. Through their sorcery and witchcraft, it has been in your faces all along. In the parable of the virgins, it says, all fell asleep, but some woke up. We're going to look at that, Matthew 25. I think some are in a light sleep, others are in a deep sleep. This is what we're going to be up against, y'all. Like Paul on Mars Hill. He said, I think you're too superstitious. It's gotten to where they believe anything. All right. Verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. See, we were all awake at one time. Why do you think some woke up and some didn't? Well, the ones that had the extra oil, I believe, are the ones that woke up. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I've heard a couple of times this week from different people that what happened, you know, about Notre Dame especially was a change in the timeline, it's the way they put it, that we no longer, in other words, that broke the Antichrist from being able to do what he wanted to do and put us in a trajectory now to go into the millennial reign. It was a choice. Like I told you last time about the timelines, it's a choice. And how there'll be people, they'll have their rapture all right, but it'll be not as they supposed. These are coming from not, they may be Christians, but this is coming from, you know, secular people. Said it completely changed the timeline. Well, you know what? I can see that. Where everybody gets on board, that's the way God is. Because that's what, another thing about the church, they take that to the bank that it has to be that way, and they're mad because they don't see their temple over there, and they're mad because the Antichrist hadn't stepped up, and everybody's going to go through hell down here while they're in heaven having a meal, which doesn't exist. The point is, it's about God's people repenting. And him changing his mind, just like Nineveh, just like the eclipse, or if it wasn't an eclipse or wasn't an eclipse, who knows? But the point is, God's always about when you repent, he changes his mind. It's all through the scriptures. Why wouldn't it be at the end that way too? He can take us into where we need to go because enough people started to pray. Enough people woke up. Enough people started doing what they needed to do to bring us out of this so we don't keep going down that path. And they said, what happened with the eclipse and CERN, though it's been in white hat control, something they did with CERN completely cut off their timeline and there's no way they can come back. It's over. It's finished. It's just uphill for us from here. What has been the agenda of the enemy? As always, to kill, steal, and destroy. A massive worldwide genocide program. Wasn't that their agenda? Wasn't that Obama's agenda? Coffins and guillotines? Hillary's agenda? They have cast their spells and nearly all of us fell for it. All this tyranny is ending and what they have done will be shouted from the housetops and will come abroad. It's going to be hard on people. But if we'd gone the other way, you talk about hard on people. Yeah. What has been upside down will be turned right side up. The new church that I'm raising up will take all that has been stolen back, just like in the days of Joshua. This is Joshua 11:16, first part of that verse. It says, so Joshua took all that land. If Joshua could live to be 110, Moses 120, why can't we? At the least. Yeah, it all has to do with your mindset. Joshua spent the next 30 years taking the land in a step-by-step process. He took the first step. After completing it, I gave him another step. Step by step, he completed my plan for him. It will be the same way with you. You will move with me one step at a time. Just as those in the Old Testament followed the ark, you must follow my spirit. The deep state has deceived by the image of the beast. The alliance is dropping crumbs to help us find the way. That's cue. They'd follow the breadcrumbs. And then when they'd gather enough crumbs, it'd make bread. Hansel and Gretel were enticed by the witch, but the birds left them breadcrumbs to find their way home. She planned to eat them right in our faces. All is not as it seems. It is crucial that you keep your mind on the things above to keep you steady so you are not moved by all the optics. Follow your heart and not your understanding. It will keep you steady in the storm. Yes, the storm is here. It is to take out the evil and to restore the good. Walk with me on top of the ways and not be moved by every wind of doctrine. You are seated with me in heavenly places, and that has not changed just because of the storm that is raging around you. Observe, but do not absorb. In this movie that you're watching play out, I have the final word. This storm will shake awake those that are still asleep. It is not for you. Come walk with me on the ways, and you will find peace through the storm. Peace be still. This is my decree to the storm. Walk with me and hear my voice. Follow my plan. And the Lord, this is my own thoughts here. The Lord brought up to me some things that he said to me in the beginning. I just read to you about the beginning, about it's time to build the Lord's house. This is the time to build the Lord's house. They were all things to do about the building of God's house. Even then, he was imparting to me the information about the office of the apostle. The Lord had me send letters to these pastors that on reflection, I believe, were really probably apostles, one maybe not realized. This is the scripture that I used as my greeting to them. I said to them that it was time to build the Lord's house. We're going to go read Haggai. All right, this is Haggai, the prophet. We've been looking at the prophet. God does not reveal anything, lest he reveal it unto his servants, the prophets. All right, let me find it. Yes. All right. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, we'll start with chapter 1, verse 1. In the first day of the month came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, unto Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed cities. I guess that's how you say that. In this house, lie waste. What has the church done? They've gone about their own pleasures, done their own thing, while the church laid in waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye have not filled with, you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Isn't that just where I began about us having been consumed with what we need and what we want and what we're not seeing, getting upset and all this stuff? And the Lord's saying, it's time to build the Lord's house. Change your thinking. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house, that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. It's easier to just hold up in your house, isn't it? Instead of going and doing something, getting things done. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Doesn't that sound like you do my business and I take care of your business? Doesn't that sound like that? And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men and upon cattle, upon all the labor of the hands. Sanctions! Things start being withheld because you didn't do what you're supposed to be doing. That's what's happening here. That's why the church today is in ruins. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. Do you see the prophet and the priest and the leader all working together? And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. You know what this church is going to be about? There's only one commission. Great commission. That's it. The only thought on our mind should be is, did we help somebody today? Did we bring the gospel to somebody today? Did we obey God today? I mean, really. Because not everybody's going to leave. Not everybody's going to be gone. There's going to be people that are just clueless and helpless and are going to need help. If he's just going to all take them all to heaven, why would he need apostles and prophets raising up everywhere? Because he wants to build his house. The one that he can inhabit. The one he can be here ruling and reigning with us. All right, chapter 2. In the 7th month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, do you know the governors are the highest authority in the state? We're United States. So the governors have the say. They don't even have to obey the president. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I coveted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. I've been reading through the book of Joshua, and I've started now to the book of Judges. After Joshua and the leaders of Joshua's day all fell asleep, they went right back like a dog to the vomit. So God raised up a judge, and the judge would make things right, and he'd die off, and they'd go back to the pigsty. It happened over and over and over and over again. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Let it be this house, Lord. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, the Federal Reserve thinks it's theirs. The Treasury thinks it's theirs. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, that which they offer there is unclean. Now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from the day upward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Yeah. Time to build the Lord's house. The prophets and the governors working together. Oh. And the book of Nehemiah. We're not going to go over there today because it's quite extensive, but I mean, this is all about building the Lord's house. Nehemiah was sad. And the king asked, what's the matter with you? Why are you so sad? My house lies in waste. So that king financed him to go to Jerusalem and build the Lord's house. All right, let's look at Zechariah since we're right there, Zechariah 1. All right, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers, therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Take care of my business, I take care of your business. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I command my servants, the prophets, did not they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, and according to our ways and according to our doings, so he hath dealt with us upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sabbath. In the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses speckled in white. Where have we heard about the red horses? Book of Revelation. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, show how long wilt thou have mercy, thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? The Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall ye comfort Zion, yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Therefore I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, great are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. And then I said, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. It just seems like it just is repeat and repeat all through the old covenant about one would build it up, the other would tear it down. We're going through the same thing. All right, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. These are warnings, the Old Testament types and shadows. All right, just a few more scriptures and we'll be done. Colossians 2:17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Then Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation, the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. All right, Revelation 21. Revelation 21. It's about people. It's not about bricks. Stones. It's about lively stones. Spiritual house. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. He's got the plan. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Danny had, a few days ago, kept saying, Lord tells me there's just something big coming. I'm thinking, it don't get no bigger than this. If he signed bricks, us onto bricks, that's the beginning of the Nasera, the Jubilee. It'll be in stages. It will take time. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. It's not a physical house. And he had talked with me in a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as a breadth. He measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits. according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the city of it was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth a sardis, the seventh a cryolite, the eighth a beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Sounds like the place I want to be. All right.